Are you sure? The gospel's always the same. Okay. Does the way we present the gospel change? Yeah, I read my Bible and I see that Jesus preached the gospel everywhere he went. That's what he said. I'm going to go across these different villages and I'm going to preach the gospel. But then when I read the accounts, I see that Jesus talked to different people in different places, different ways. And I think about the way that you see the Apostle Paul preach the gospel in certain places. He preached the gospel differently in a synagogue than he did, like, for instance, when he was at Mars Hill in Athens. And so the gospel never changes, but the way we present it does change. And so on the front of your new gospel track here, it says, Happy Easter. And like I said this morning, man, it's amazing to me. One of the reasons we did it this way is because at Christmas time, our Christmas tracks, we just started putting Merry Christmas on them. And I love handing those out because when you say Merry Christmas and you hand them a track, people almost always smile and say, thank you, Merry Christmas, right? So when we came to Easter, trying to find a way, because we've done it all kinds of different ways, you know, He is risen or celebrate the resurrection at Calvary. I mean, we've done it a lot of different ways, but this is very basic, very simple, where you can take this and hand it to somebody. You know, Easter's in 2 weeks, right? Anybody shocked by that? 2 weeks. That you can hand this to somebody and say, Happy Easter. And I think most of the time what you're going to find is somebody's going to take it and say, thank you. Happy Easter. But the goal is that they're going to read the content on the back. So the gospel hasn't changed, but the way we present it does. And Easter really provides us with a unique opportunity to share the gospel because Easter's the time we celebrate. I mean, we celebrate the resurrection every day, right? I mean, and technically we celebrate it as a church every week. That's why we meet on the first day of the week, because that's he's risen on the first day. But it's a unique time of year for us to really take advantage of an opportunity to witness people. I know we live in the Bible Belt. Most people that you talk to at least went to church sometime with their grandma growing up or something. But there are people in this town and in our communities around us who have never heard a clear gospel presentation. They've never heard the true gospel. And so this is a tool for you to use. I just want to walk you through it today. He is risen. And there's the first line there on that gospel track that starts, God created us. Would somebody read that out loud for us? Just that first line or two lines. Amen. And then it points us to Genesis 1:27. So it says, God created us to know him and walk in his truth and love, but we have all sinned and failed to keep God's perfect standard. So it points to Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So it points back to the very creation that God created us and created mankind for relationship with him. So we're going to hand these out, but if you have an opportunity to talk to somebody, you can walk through this with them and you can have a conversation about the fact that God created mankind in his image, but he wanted to have relationship. He created man for relationship with God. But there's a problem because we sinned against God. We've broken that relationship. Romans 3:23, anybody know that one? Who has sinned? Well, I talk sometimes to people who don't know that they've sinned or won't admit that they've sinned, which is one of the reasons we like to use the law to bring the conviction of sin. So if you have an opportunity to have a conversation, this is a great time to just talk about that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not trying to judge anybody because I'm a sinner too. But I can ask someone questions because accusations harden the will, but questions stimulate the conscience. So I can ask somebody, have you ever lied? Or I could say, Silas, how many lies do you think you've told in your life?
A few.
He didn't say just a few. He said a few. A few, by the way, is three or more. And I'm just going to guess that by the time he's reached this age, it's probably more than three. Okay? But we can ask somebody if they've ever lied. I can ask somebody, Ryan, have you ever stolen anything, even if it's small? Ever download music without paying for it or anything like that? Napster got you as a teenager, okay? But we can ask somebody if they've ever lied, if they've ever stolen. And I'm not being accusatory. I'm asking questions. And I'm not trying to put myself above somebody else because I'm guilty too. So we go through that. Now, it may not seem like a big deal, but the next point, somebody read that next line. It starts with the word sin. So we try to bring somebody to a place where they can admit that they've sinned, which may not seem like a big deal. If everybody sinned, then what's the big deal? Well, sin brings death and eternal separation from God. But because he still loves us, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a sinless life, to die in our place. So this covers a whole lot, right? We can try to help somebody understand we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but then we have to understand the penalty of sin. Sin brings death, eternal separation. Romans 6:23, somebody know that one? Amen. Now, Nelson memorized these verses a long, long time ago in a faraway land known as the 80s. Right? Yeah. Nelson memorized those verses way back in the 80s. They're still with them because he uses them. Anybody here who learned how to ride a bicycle, you could probably get on it and ride it. It would take you a while. It'd be wobbly at first, right? But I've got great news for you. Even if you don't have these verses memorized, I know where you can find them, right? And so if you're having a conversation with somebody, you can have your Bible with you, or most of you have a smartphone. You can pull out your phone with a Bible app on it, and you can share these verses with them and take the time to look at the scriptures and let them see the word of God themselves if you don't have them memorized. So Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is the wages. What's a wage? Well, it's if you go to work, you earn a wage. It's what you get in return. It's what you get in response to or in return for something. So we have sinned, and what we get in return for our sin is death. Now, everybody here ought to know by now. If you don't, let me tell you again, death is separation. When you die physically, your spirit is separated from your body. Spiritual death is that your spirit is separated from God because of sin. And eternal death is when your spirit is separated from God eternally, when you are separated from God eternally in the lake of fire. And so sin brings death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Man, isn't that a drastic change in direction? I mean, you're talking about eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that or so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So let's make sure we understand who we're talking about here. Who made who to be sin for us? God the Father made Jesus the Son to be sin for us. And who was it that knew no sin? Jesus knew no sin. In other words, he didn't commit any sin. Well, you see, what does it mean he knew no sin? Well, did he know about sin? Of course he knew about sin. He could see every thought. He knew the hearts of men. He saw sin. Nobody had to tell him what was in the heart of people because he knew what was in the heart of people. So it's not that he didn't know what sin was. It means that he didn't commit any sin. So he didn't commit sin. He didn't know sin in the way that he was a part of it. So that in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So sin brings death and eternal separation. But God sent Jesus to live a sinless life and to die in our place. The wages of sin is death. Death requires a sacrifice. So what do we deserve because of our sin? We get death. And what did Jesus pay because of our sin? Death. So death is what is owed, and death is what Christ paid. Okay? Somebody else read that next line on the cross.
On the cross, Jesus bore
Okay, so where did he do this to die in our place? He died on the cross. And there Jesus bore the punishment for our sins. There he died. Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. And man, if you can ever get a conversation with somebody long enough that you can actually open your Bible or your Bible app and look at scriptures, Isaiah 53 is one of the most powerful places you can go in the whole Bible to show them the love of Jesus. Okay? Isaiah 53, 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We just saw that, right, in the New Testament. He became sin. The one who knew no sin became sin. All the sin that we have done was put on Jesus. He bore the punishment for our sins. But glory to God, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Matthew 28:5. "The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And this is really the heart of an Easter track, right? It's the resurrection. He died for our sins, but he rose again. He took our punishment upon him, but he conquered death, and he laid down his life. He took it up again, and he is not there among the dead. He is alive, and he's alive forevermore. So 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And somebody read that next section for us, his resurrection. Amen. His resurrection proves he is the Son of God. Now, you're probably, maybe you have time talking to somebody, maybe you won't, but I hope you understand that. Jesus told everybody from the time he started his ministry, "I came from the Father. I came to do my Father's will. I came from the Father. The works that I do testify that I came from my Father." He was trying to make sure they understood that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to take away the sin of the world. That's why he came. That's who he was. But ultimately, that was proved by this. "I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to take it up again." That was the ultimate proof. "Tear down this temple, and in 3 days, I'll bring it back up again," right? He wasn't talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He was talking about his body that would be sacrificed for our sins. And so it proves he's the Son of God and that his sacrifice was accepted. Now, a lot of people think that you are ignorant, that you're backwoods, and you're just superstitious. And maybe all of those things are true. Maybe we are ignorant, and maybe we are backwoods, and maybe some of us are a little superstitious, but it doesn't change the fact that the resurrection of Jesus is the most attested to historical fact in the history of the world. And I want you to get this. Those disciples died, and a lot of people die for lies, right? How many of you remember 9/11? There are people who murdered them. They killed themselves and murdered lots of people because they believed something that wasn't true, okay? The disciples, if Jesus wasn't risen, then that would mean that they died for something that they knew wasn't true. They would have been tortured and died for something they knew was a lie. Well, that's crazy. But what we know is they were eyewitnesses to the risen Savior, and they attested to that as historical fact, and we have record of that historical fact. And you can believe the proof of the resurrection. Through him, we can have forgiveness, eternal life, and victory over death when we turn away from our sin and we trust in Christ alone. Romans 1:3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So his resurrection proves that he is the very Son of God. Somebody else read John 11, 25 and 26 for us. John 11, 25 and 26. You can probably just look on the screen and read it. Nobody wants to do it? Let's just read it all together then. All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You guys believe it? Did she believe it? You know what? Mary and Martha, they're alive with Jesus today. Lazarus is alive with Jesus today. And a lot of people that were there and witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus believed in the Lord Jesus and are alive with Jesus today. Because he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And we see he is the resurrection, he is the life, he gives life to all who believe. So it's forgiveness, eternal life, victory over death. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And because Jesus is risen, he offers you new life today and forever. This gospel tract that you hold in your hand says, because Jesus is risen, he offers you new life today and forever. Is that true? Is it true? I mean, can you take this and hand it to anybody on the planet and it be true? You believe that? I believe that. I believe that's what the scriptures teach. I believe it to be true. And I believe that you can take this and hand it to anybody that you come across in the next 2 weeks. And you can say, Happy Easter, and give it to them. If they'll give you the time of day, you can talk to them. You can walk through this with them. And you can share this great truth with them. That if they will turn from their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can have eternal life. And it's because he is risen. And ends with the question and a verse, will you trust him? And that's really what it's about, right? We would love to invite people to come to church, but that won't make them saved, right? We can do all kinds of things. We can pray for them. We can pray with them. But the only thing that's going to give them eternal life is if they trust in Jesus. And that's the message we have. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Boy, when he saves you all the way, doesn't he? That's the good news. It's the good news. Listen, I know you're tired, but I hope you're happier than you look. God is so good. Jesus died for you and rose again to give you eternal life. And what we get to do is take the good news to other people. And I hope you can hand this to somebody with a smile on your face and say Happy Easter, because you're rejoicing in the resurrection. I read about Christians a long time ago, for a long time, not just at Easter time, but they would greet each other with they would call out with one thing and there would always be a response. And they would say, He is risen. And they would respond, He is risen indeed. And I think we need to bring that back. And I think it ought to be our reminder all the time. So keep that in your heart and mind. That's what it says there on the back, right? He is risen. You may hand this to a Christian and they could say he is risen indeed. But you might hand it to a lost person and they don't know. So we want to give these, hand out the gospel, share it as much as we can. And we ought to be able to do it with joy in our heart, right? So if you can't say Happy Easter with a smile, then just look at the back and see he is risen, and that ought to make you smile. Let's stand together.